This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we ask the new publisher of the Port Townsend and Jefferson County Leader if the local newspaper is healthy, what changes he will bring, and whether the entire print media business itself is doomed. And now, we go inside the Compass. Newspapers aren't dead yet, but the print media themselves concede they may be sucking their final breaths of air. They are being strangled by the internet. The first nail in the coffin came when advertising ditched the printed page and went online. Classified ads moved to Craigslist, and display ads found greater exposure on Google and Facebook. Ads have traditionally been a newspaper's primary source of income. The second nail came when news itself went online. You don't need to buy an inky paper anymore. The internet offers free sources of news you can read on your mobile device anytime, anywhere. So why would anyone decide to buy into the newspaper business? We put that question to Lloyd Mullen, who recently purchased the weekly Port Townsend and Jefferson County Leader. So I don't know if you got the memo, but newspapers are dying.
Oh.
Yes. As someone who is expanding a chain of newspapers, what do you know that everyone else is missing?
Newspapers aren't dying.
Ah.
Yeah. Maybe national newspapers, but definitely not community newspapers. And I think it's a common misconception because all of the national newspapers, I mean, they basically dug their own graves talking about this and putting everything online for free. But community newspapers, we are the only ones who are reporting on the community. If you look nationally, they're all sending out the exact same information. If you want to know what's going on in Port Townsend, where do you go?
Port Townsend Leader.
There you go. Exactly.
So Port Townsend and Jefferson County Leader.
Yeah. Or the Leader.
The Leader. Between Lloyd Mullen, his father, brothers, and partners, the Mullins owned more than 20 local newspapers throughout the Northwest until recently, when they divested down to a total of 6 newspapers. Lloyd Mullen was serving as general manager of the Mason County Journal, his family's newspaper in Shelton, when he took command at the PT Leader. He still has a home in Olympia, and we asked if he was still commuting.
Well, I live above the newspaper 5 days a week at least.
Do
so
you?
I'd say I'm here the majority of the time in a very small, would you say, studio apartment?
Yes,
I've
seen
it. I have a bed,
it.
A stove, and some, you know, chairs. That's about it.
Now, you're married. Do you have kids?
No kids. No, we've got 2 dogs.
And is she here, or do you still have a residence in down in Olympia?
We've got a place in West Olympia. My wife's going to grad school right now at Evergreen for a degree in public and nonprofit administration. She's got her bachelor's in dietetics.
And her name is?
Karen.
And now that you've had a few months to get Port Townsend under your fingernails, what are your impressions of the place?
That I'm going to need a few more months to get Port Townsend under my fingernails. This is by far the most unique community I've ever been to. When I got here, Scott Wilson, the previous owner, everyone here probably knows that.
Mm-hmm.
He actually took me around town and introduced me to people, and I've never seen anyone be that welcoming to a new person coming into town. I went to a chamber meeting my first week here, and I got a standing ovation. It is ridiculous how generous the people in this town are. I mean, I could go on and on. The thing I've really learned is that people actually, I mean, when they say they're going to do something, they do it. There's more volunteers here than I've ever seen. If you go walk into the chamber, I mean, that's mostly run by volunteers, at least on the visitor side. And then even your radio station here, it's volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it seems to me Port Townsend is run by.
A lot of folks don't know the answer to this question. What does a newspaper publisher actually do?
A lot. So at a smaller newspaper, I'd call myself more of a newspaper generalist. I got into it taking photos at a very young age. I was actually a paper boy when I was 3, so sitting in the back of a little red wagon in Sioux City, Iowa.
Age 3?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say I was much of a newspaper man at that point, but I was still there with my brothers. But as far as my role here in Port Townsend, it's really, it's hard to say. I mean, I do a little bit of everything. I'd like to be able to do one thing fully, but being a publisher, you need to be able to hop in and out of certain areas. So from what I've been told when Scott Wilson was here, he was much more editorially focused because that's where his expertise came from. Me, though I started as a journalist and photographer, I really lean towards photography and the business side just because photography is something I'm passionate about, something I'm good at. Editorial, I can write, but I would never really call myself a writer. So I leave that to the professionals like Alice and Arthur, our editor. And then the business side, you know, I'm 28 years old, so everything is pretty new to me, but most of what I've done, photography and business.
Did you take journalism classes in college or high school or anything?
No, not at all. I started writing, I suppose, professionally, and I only say that because I got paid for it when I was about 14. And that was for the newsletter journal in a small town of Newcastle, Wyoming, population 3,000 on a good day. after that, it was just, you know, trying to crank out stories. I worked for a couple newspapers in Montana, the Silver State Post. And there I worked full-time editorial as a journalist. But after that, going into Shelton 3.5 years ago, it was really, I split my time, which you'll never really see at most newspapers, editorial and advertising. Most people think that you cannot cross that line.
Right.
And I would agree that most people should not cross that line. But growing up in the business, it made it, I guess, easier to differentiate in my mind that this is one thing, that's another. You do not cross that line.
Major metropolitan newspapers, you have writers, you have photographers. At small papers, you have journalists who do both. And I assume that's the case also with the Leader.
Basically, anytime we're looking for a new journalist, you need, and this is, I think, most newspapers nowadays, you need to be able to take a picture because the amount of full-time photographers, I don't know that you're going to see many in a small town. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to design and you need to be able to write a story. And that's all bare minimum anytime a new reporter's coming on.
They're designing the pages as well.
Mm-hmm. More and more, yeah.
Now you guys are all computerized, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's all digital.
It's all Adobe InDesign. Everything is on the computer. It's very different from when I grew up as a kid. We had the light tables.
Yes.
You would, you know, cut and paste everything.
I remember, well.
I remember this was probably late 90s, early 2000s, when we finally got a zip drive in the office because it could hold so much more information than a floppy disk. It's changed quite a bit.
It brings back, I started out when we had manual typewriters.
Oh, yeah.
You would take them with you. I was a sports writer. You take the manual typewriter, you type on paper, you hold it up, copy person comes by, grabs it, and telexes it like a primitive fax machine back to the newspaper. Tell us about your newspaper roots. It runs in the family. It's not just you.
I suppose both of my brothers do it. My dad does it. He's the one who obviously got us into it. My mom, she ran a newspaper in Montana, the Phillipsburg Mail, for a while. I guess it all really started with my dad back in the late 80s. He got a job, probably don't quote me on this one, at I think it was the
Sioux City. Oh, you'll be quoted.
the Sioux City Journal. This is in Iowa. He was going to school to be a lawyer, and he was speaking with his professor, and his professor asked him if maybe he wanted to be a journalist instead, because for him, my dad, it wasn't about arguing to get, you know, the correct point. It was just understanding everything, getting both sides of the story at all times. So that's why his professor pushed him in that direction. Then after the Sioux City Journal, he had an opportunity to be mentored in Wayne, Nebraska, of all places, by a gentleman named Les Mann. He worked there for about 2 years. This was 94 to 95. And then fast forward a couple more years, he met someone named Rob Hicks, who was a business partner of his for probably about 20 years. Ended up purchasing part of the Newsletter Journal in Newcastle, working sweat equity to get that. And from there, it really all took off.
I saw a picture in the paper of a boat hoist that had failed, and the credit line said, photo by Lloyd Mullen. Now, you told us you had done some photography. Are you going to be doing more of that? Are you going to be on the front lines of the news as well as running things behind the scenes?
In a perfect world, I would be out there shooting photos all the time.
Ah.
Yeah, that's really what I enjoy doing. That and sales. So I'm up front and in back at all times. It's wherever I'm needed.
So when you say sales, it's not S-A-I-L-S, as we would say here in Port Townsend.
Well, in this community, I would like to go sailing. I mean, my parents just got rid of their sailboat they had at Lake Union up in Seattle. Sure. It was a 44-foot custom something or other. But my parents, even in South Dakota and Wyoming, had us sailing all the time.
Since the Mullins took over, what changes have we already seen in a leader, and what changes might we see in the future?
Hopefully, there aren't a ton of changes. I mean, the Wilsons really put out a great newspaper. All I'm trying to do is make it my own. You've probably seen a lot of design changes. We've put a little bit more emphasis in sports. Patrick was covering that. I mean, a lot of people in the community care about that. It's really just reporting on the communities. It really shouldn't be a huge change, other than, I mean, visually.
Not only was Scott Wilson a fixture at the paper for so long, but so has Patrick Sullivan been. And he surprised me and maybe a lot of other people with announcing that his next column would be his last.
Mm-hmm.
And he has done a lot of sports. Are you hiring?
Yes, yeah. We're looking for someone right now. Allison is actually interviewing a few people this afternoon. Yeah, Patrick decided to go to the dark side.
The dark side. See, I don't even know what is he going to be doing?
I believe he is going to be a public information officer.
No.
So, yeah, I know.
Say it ain't so.
Those are the people we usually try to get information out of. So he will be holding it tight, and we'll try to get a few out.
You said you'd like to increase the emphasis on sports?
Well, I think we did.
Already
when
have.
When I first got here, Patrick, I asked him to start expanding upon that, and we've had a couple of freelancers come in and do that. I personally am not a huge sport fan, but in Shelton, which is where I, you know, really got into newspapers, we had an entire section on sports. I mean, it covered the entire county, and we covered the entire county. So it was interesting, at least when I got here, there were maybe one or two pages.
Yeah.
But it's what kids are doing after school. I mean, it really brings a community together in a lot of ways. We've got, is it Memorial Field, two blocks away from the newspaper?
Yep.
When I got to town, that place is cheering and packed, you know, a couple of days a week.
Yep.
And I think that's really an area that we could grow.
I'm curious, how does the relationship with you and Allison, she being the next in charge below you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? How does that work? Do you manage strongly from the top, or do you give her a lot of leeway or absolute leeway to do as she wishes?
I set out guidelines of expectations, and then when she needs help or requests help, I should say, then I lend a helping hand. But I am not a fan of, as you said, micromanaging. I don't like being micromanaged. I don't know many people who do. So I just try to stay as hands-off as I can. We have weekly meetings to talk about, you know, what was in the newspaper, areas to improve. That's really what we do every single week. We have a staff meeting that the entire newspaper staff comes together. We talk about what we did well and what we can do better next week.
And we can expect more often to see in the newspaper, in the Port Townsend Leader, photo by Lloyd Mullen?
Hopefully, yeah. I'd love to get out there more, okay. Especially when the sun is shining, an excuse to go outside.
Indeed. The Leader was founded 128 years ago, and the previous publisher had been there for 27 years. Mm-hmm. Does a tradition of such long and rich history give you any pause when you consider making changes?
Oh, absolutely.
So how do you play that out in your head?
It's just trying to just realize that the newspaper has been here for...
Ever.
I mean, yeah, I'm trying to do the math on how long I've been alive. It's been here for that long, and it's going to be here a heck of a lot longer after I die. So knowing that it is a community newspaper, even though, as you say, you know, the Mullins own it, it's the community's newspaper. It's going to be here when I'm gone. So you have to know that.
Your brother, Louis Mullen, is co-owner of the Leader. What level of involvement does he have here?
About 3 phone calls a day.
So he's off-site.
Yeah. Louis really, he got into the business knowing that he wanted to be in newspapers for most of his life. Even though I worked in newspapers in high school and middle school and, you know, growing up, when I went to university, I wanted to get as far away as possible. I'd had it up to here. I was fed up with it, let's say. I just didn't think it was for me. And after going to college, I realized that it was actually something I enjoyed. I mean, you've done it. I mean, you get to interview someone new every day. You get to learn new things every day. You get out of the office. You get to meet new people. It's exciting. I mean, there's pressure that comes to it, but absolutely, it's the most interesting job I've had the pleasure of having. But Louis was lucky enough to know that he wanted to do that. So he, even though he's only 3 years older than me, he's got, you know, probably 5 more years of experience. So I lean on him for the areas where I'm not really comfortable. I mean, Louis is much more editorially savvy than me. So when I have questions, I go to him and I call my dad too, because mm-hmm. even though he's not an owner, I mean, he raised me. He was my mentor. He helps me where he can.
Which paper is he affiliated with or working on site for?
My dad's the publisher of the Shelton Mason County Journal. So that's an hour 30 south of here on the 101.
Your dad is?
My dad is.
And,
Louis. Sorry. Louis is Green River in Wyoming. He's the publisher there. But he's got one in Newport, which is just north of Spokane, mm-hmm. and then one in Thermopolis.
How many papers do the Mullen family own?
Currently? Let's see. So these...
Interesting you don't know that off the top of your head. It's a number.
Well, my dad just ended his partnership with Rob. He was the guy I was talking about earlier. So if we're talking Rob, who I was with last week, he would have said 20-something. Mm-hmm. But that just got cut because of their partnership ending. So I'll say Shelton, Phillipsburg, Deer Lodge, Green River, Thermopolis, Newport. But those are not owned by all of us together. I mean, those could be, I'm in a partnership with Louis, Jesse, and my dad for Thermopolis. Louis owns Newport with another partner of his, you know, so on and so forth.
And that, you rattled off six, right? Total of six.
Sure.
As I was looking at your fingers as you were doing.
I should have kept track, sorry.
A recent Gallup poll found that only 6% of the public has a great deal of confidence in the media. 6%. I think it was your own father. I got this quote off of the internet.
Okay.
Who said, "The newspaper business is built on credibility."
Absolutely.
So why do you think that number has sunk so low?
I would say, first of all, when people say media, at least me personally, I think televised.
Okay.
And a lot of that is because, and I'm putting this in air quotations, journalists, television journalists, aren't doing necessarily reporting anymore as giving their opinion on the topic.
Yes.
A lot of news, and this is another air quote, TV shows aren't actually news anymore. They're just opinions back and forth, and it's no longer news anymore. I don't know. What would you say? What's a better word for that?
Well, it's some of it's fake news.
Alternative facts.
And some of it is highly opinionated. So I'm an avid consumer of news. I get your paper. I get the PDN. And I also watch CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS. I can't watch them all on the same mm-hmm. night. BBC. Listen to NPR. Listen to KPTZ News, Compass, and Fox News,
yeah.
MSNBC. In my perception, the media became much more polarized left and right. They went into their separate camps. As you said, a lot less fact and a lot more opinion. Mm-hmm. So where would you go to get the facts?
It depends on what you're looking for. If you're doing nationally, I would say people need to do exactly what you're doing. They need to go to multiple sources because everyone has a bias. As much as a real journalist is going to try to push that away, how they were raised, that is going to determine the questions that they are asking, which makes them biased. So the fact that you're going to Fox News and CNN, hopefully you can determine that the truth is somewhere in the middle. But it's going to be slightly different on both ends. So you need to go to a lot of places. When I was in college, my professor recommended I go to the Spiegel, which is a German international newspaper. But really? View multiple sources. I mean, are you going to trust one person if they're telling you something, or are you going to do a little bit of research on your own? So I think maybe that's the real issue, is that you cannot trust just one national news organization. You need to do your own research.
Mm-hmm. In the papers that I worked at, there was a publisher who was mm-hmm. the boss.
Yeah.
But there was an editor. There was a managing editor, sometimes an editor below or above him or her. How does it work at the leader?
Allison is the editor. Patrick Sullivan, assistant editor, for another 6 hours.
And today's the day.
Yeah, today's the last day. We're having a going away party tonight, but then we'll have an assistant editor. So it's same.
Is that going to be a promotion from within or a hire?
We're going to be looking for someone.
So when copy comes in, say Katie Kowalski writes a story, mm-hmm. who would edit that story and how many eyes would see that story before it hits the paper?
Oh boy. Hopefully everyone in our editorial team. Katie, Allison, Sonny, probably Kirk, myself. So I'd say no fewer than five people should see every story before it hits the street.
The former publisher, Scott Wilson, often put his name at the end of his editorials. You're using a more traditional approach of running editorials unsigned. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason the opinion pieces are anonymous, and are you writing some of them yourself?
I wrote one when I first got here with the help of my father after someone did a little chalk graffiti on the building.
Ah.
But the way that I was raised in the newspaper business was an editorial is the voice of the newspaper. So that's why they're not signed.
Mm-hmm.
Allison does, I would say, 99% of them at this point, because okay. the one I wrote was, you know, a few months ago. But she is doing it as the voice of the newspaper, and that's why they're unsigned.
Newspapers have, if not an openly stated political position, certainly an understood one. People generally say the New York Times is liberal. There are other newspapers that are generally considered conservative based on their editorials, their opinion page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I can peg the Leader. Would you say the Leader has a political position?
I hope not.
You hope not?
Yeah.
And again, I'm talking opinion page now.
You mean editorial?
Exactly right, editorials.
Well, then you'd have to ask Allison.
Okay.
I mean, though she writes the editorials, I think in a smaller community like this, you don't need to have really a political standing, because we're talking about community issues, and those are much more personal than your political leanings. I mean, we're talking about what is happening to your neighbor. It's very different.
I asked Scott Wilson a question probably 3 years ago when he was sitting in that same chair about the future of newspapers. I asked him about the business model of giving away your most valuable product, which is your editorial content, for free, which is what many newspapers at the time were doing online.
Mm-hmm.
Are you guys now charging for access online for the Leader's stories?
Well, I think you'll see nationally that no one is really doing that anymore.
Okay.
Because it was a mistake, and they were cannibalizing their product. What we do is you get a few stories every month. I don't know the exact number. But then after that, it's asked that you get a subscription, because that is how we pay our employees. That's how you get actual community news. That's how you get legitimate reporters.
Mm-hmm.
So a few stories, and then please subscribe.
Would you say the Leader is, I mean, it's been around for 120 some odd years.
Mm-hmm.
Is it endangered like the other newspapers? You mentioned the national newspapers certainly have gone through a major contraction, and an awful lot of journalists have lost their jobs because of it. But you're saying the Leader is in that category of...
I think we're safe and sound. I wouldn't have gone after the Leader if I didn't think it was. If we're looking at it from just a business standpoint, Port Townsend, Jefferson County is a perfect place to have a newspaper. I mean, the closest big box store, not including a grocery store, is 40 minutes away. People in this community actually care about what is happening in this community. They talk about shopping local, and they shop local. They want local news, so they go to the Port Townsend Leader to get their local news. As long as people care about what's happening in their community, I think small town newspapers are going to thrive.
The business model for newspapers used to be the cost of the subscription didn't even cover the cost of putting out the newspaper, and it was subsidized by advertising mm-hmm. dollars, classified and display advertising. Is that still the case? You can still pay all your bills, especially in a small town like this, where the retail business is always in flux.
Yeah, it's a combination of subscriptions and advertising.
In most newspapers, the classified advertising lineage has gone way down mm-hmm. because of all of the options online to advertise things. Is your classified advertising holding its own?
In Port Townsend, I have never seen a classified section, at least as far as a small town newspaper goes, this big. If you go to any of the other newspapers that my family's been a part of, it is a fraction of what this community does. And that really says a lot about, I guess, the newspaper's role in this community. It's where people go to for that type of information. And I'm thankful for it.
For those who don't know, classified advertising are the for sale, little things, personal ads that people can put in a newspaper for the things of their own that they want to sell, as opposed to display, which are the ads for stores and businesses and such. How's the display advertising holding up in a small town like Port Townsend for the Leader?
We've actually had pretty significant increases since I've gotten here, so it's a good thing. I do want to say, going back to classifieds real quick, I think, honestly, one of the reasons that it is doing so well in this town is you go to places like Craigslist or and anywhere online, and it's what you said earlier, credibility in newspapers. Uh-huh. When we have someone put an ad in our newspaper, it has to be credible. I don't want one of my customers, someone looking at that ad, going to the house and, you know, getting something that they aren't expecting, because then that falls on me. I mean, that's someone who put their money in my newspaper and is relying on me to provide a service for them, or at least be the go-between, so that they know it's safe and sound when they go there to buy it. And I think maybe that's part of why classifieds and newspapers, at least in Jefferson County, are doing well.
Very good point. It's true, because I always worry if you go through Craigslist, is this a scam? Is this legit? If someone's going to pay money to put an ad in a newspaper,
it's an actual product.
Yeah, you know, you're pretty sure that that's, you can count on that.
Well, I've had to turn people away because they were, someone tried to put an ad in our newspaper, then went online, and they tried to sell the White House.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we didn't end up running it because I don't believe it was for sale. I mean, we do have to...
What was the list price of the White House?
It wasn't much. I don't think it covered the cost of the ad they were trying to buy.
Do you remember the content of the ad? That's pretty funny.
No, it was... I don't. Sorry. I just remember.
And that was a local. Someone locally wanted to put that in the Leader.
We had to call them and say, you know, this, it needs to be a legitimate listing. Can you confirm that you are able to sell this?
My hunch is that was a political statement.
Very much so.
Yes. In my day, newspaper publishers were corporate CEOs or grizzled old businessmen. You're 28, young enough to still be considered a cub reporter, by my standards anyways.
Yes.
Are you going to be content running newspapers for the rest of your life? What does the future hold for Lloyd Mullen?
That's a pretty big question. I certainly hope I'm going to be content, hopefully more so. I mean, I've uprooted at least half of my family to come out to Port Townsend, and I plan on being here and until further notice, let's say. Part of my conversation with the Wilsons was, am I going to be here? Am I going to be in the community? And I think Scott would probably confirm this. That was part of why he sold it to me. It's, you know, it's a local newspaper. There needs to be someone working at it who actually lives in the community and cares about where they are. So as long as I'm here, I'm going to say yes.
What appeals to you about Port Townsend? You mentioned that how welcoming and warm everyone has been, but this is a very unusual place, especially for someone coming from Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
What appeals to you about this place? If anything.
That wasn't a good time to pause. No, I'm just trying to think of, I mean, there's so much that appeals about it. So let's, I mean, I could say, you know, we're in any community. Usually when you go into a community, you're going to find things you like and things you don't. When I go into a new community, I've always been welcomed. But something about Port Townsend, it's really... And I'm just repeating myself from earlier. I mean, the people genuinely care. I mean, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I mean, it's a bunch of retired hippies. But
well, we know that.
But they actually care about what's happening in the community. I mean, yes, it's a beautiful place to be. But you know what? I was in Wyoming, and that was a beautiful place to be. And I chose to be out here in the Pacific Northwest. And I could have been anywhere. But Port Townsend really is a unique community in that people put their money where their mouth is. It's such a cliche thing to say, but people here, I mean, they do. They do what they say they're going to do, and they see it through. I've got people setting meetings with me all the time to try to get me to follow their cause because they care, and that's really attractive in a small community.
You said your wife is in grad school?
Yeah.
Are there plans to permanently settle here, stay here?
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at land outside of town. I'm not going to say where, though, because I don't want to give it away.
Okay. You said no children.
No, not yet.
No, not yet. So that answers my next question, whether there were plans.
Well, I figure it might be a good idea to be near the child while I'm raising it.
That is a good plan. Yes, indeed. I always finish every interview with just saying, is there anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to talk about or mention about this whole process?
Well, I'll probably want to retract this after I say it, but a lot of people asked me when I got here, you know, were you prepared? And stupidly, I thought I was. I don't know that anyone can ever be truly prepared to take over a business like this when they come into a community. So the first few months, I can honestly say I was in way over my head, but the staff, I mean, everybody in this town, and I'm repeating myself again, has been so incredibly helpful that I finally feel like I have my head on my shoulders again. It's just, it's truly a great place to be.
With Lloyd Mullen, new publisher and owner of the Port Townsend and Jefferson County Leader, this is David Cunningham for KPTZ News. This week's Compass was written, produced, and narrated by David Cunningham. The Compass airs Mondays and Saturdays at noon, Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 10 a.m., exclusively here on KPTZ, the home of eclectic, authentic community radio. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM Port Townsend, I'm David Cunningham.